This is the Making Good Podcast, episode 29. Welcome to the Making Good Podcast with me, Jen Gale. Stay tuned for inspirational stories from ethical and social entrepreneurs and people making good stuff happen in their communities, as well as tips, tools, and techniques to help you grow your ethical business and amplify your impact. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Making Good Podcast. I'm Jen and I'm your host or hostess. I don't know. And this week, I am talking to a changemaker extraordinaire, a woman who started her own personal sustainability journey and almost by accident spawned this huge annual online event that is Zero Waste Week. Zero Waste Week first began in 2008 and has grown pretty much exponentially every year since, until last year in 2016, the hashtag reached over 20 million accounts on Twitter. This year, which is 2017 if you're listening in the future, Zero Waste Week is taking place from the 4th to the 8th of September. And in this episode, I have the huge pleasure of chatting to Zero Waste Week founder Rachel Strauss. Rubbish is a huge problem. And all too often, I think many of us are guilty of a kind of out of sight, out of mind approach to it. And we forget that when we throw stuff away, there is actually no away. It has to go somewhere. And as a country here in the UK, we are actually nearly at the point where we have run out of landfill. The zero waste movement is something that's been growing in popularity over the last few years, but the term itself can be a little bit off-putting because it implies that you need to go from where you are now to throwing nothing away in one big step. But Rachel explains her approach to zero waste and how absolutely anyone can get started. I love this episode because not only does it allow me to highlight a cause that I'm really passionate about, it also allows me to highlight the work of someone I hugely admire. And I really love that it shows the power of just one person to make stuff happen and to effect huge positive change. Just before we crack on with the interview, I just want to very quickly let you know that today, which is the 1st of September, is the launch day for my 30-day online group coaching course called Making Good in 30. So if you're an aspiring change maker and you've got a burning desire to make something good happen, I'd love you to join me and a fabulous group of other inspiring change makers for a 30-day sprint during September. I'll pop the link in the show notes with lots more information, but it's still not too late to sign up. And I'd love to help you really crack on with some of those projects that you've maybe been putting off over the summer that really could help you to move your ethical business or your social enterprise forwards and to make more good stuff happen. Okay, enough from me. Here's the main part of the show. Enjoy. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, Jen. I'm excited and nervous, actually. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. We're just having a chat.
Yeah, it's just that there's like millions of people listening. That's okay.
In the world's domination of podcasts that we're aiming for. Brilliant. So can you start off by introducing yourself? And we're going to be chatting about Zero Waste Week. So if you can tell us a little bit about Zero Waste Week, that would be fab.
Okay, Zero Waste Week then was born in 2008. So this year would be the 10th annual campaign. Wow. And it's a campaign that raises awareness about the amount of stuff we throw away, mm-hmm. basically, putting it shortly. Yeah. So the idea is that participants take part, and throughout the week, I encourage them to, you know, rethink what they're throwing in the bin to see if they could perhaps reuse something or to change their shopping habits. It might be that we're looking at composting. Every year has a different theme. Mm-hmm. But the overall aim of it is, as I said, that we start to rethink our rubbish and perhaps even review it as a resource if mm-hmm. we can.
Brilliant. And how did you get into zero waste and all things kind of rubbish?
It started in, it's an interesting one. There's almost two beginnings to the story.
Okay.
So I'll go right back to 2004 when I was on holiday with my family and we were in a village called Boscastle in, do you know what? I can never remember whether it's Devon or Cornwall. I'm really sorry.
I think it's Cornwall, but my geography is...
Thank you. My geography is terrible. Yes. So we were on holiday in Boscastle and to cut a long story short, we experience flash flooding while we were there. And it was dramatic in that 100 people had to be airlifted out of the village, because while we were standing there, two rivers burst their banks. It was torrential rainfall. Two rivers burst their banks. The tide came in at the same time, and we ended up with sort of 10 feet of flood water, which washed the bridge out into the sea, which would get people out of the village.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there were 100 people stranded and had to be airlifted out. Fortunately, we were not in amongst those people, but we were there watching it as it happened. And my husband was helping people get out of their cars because the water was rising up and they couldn't open their car doors, that kind of thing. I'm standing there with my daughter in my arms thinking, actually, Jen, at the time I was thinking, everything I've been reading about climate change is happening now.
Yeah.
Not in 50 years' time, but right now in front of my eyes. And it was a huge wake-up call. So, you know, whether that was right or wrong, I don't think really matters.
Yeah.
But what it was for me, it was a time of sowing seeds.
Sure.
And I came home from that quite traumatized, actually, but thinking, you know, what am I going to do with this information and this thing that I've just experienced? And I couldn't really go back to Boscastle and rebuild the village, you know, and I couldn't throw money at it. So what I did was set up a local free cycle group, which you're probably aware of. Mm-hmm. But for people that haven't heard of it, it's a brilliant campaign where people are connected with people who have things to give away. So, for example, if you've got something in your home that you don't want anymore, say an old dining table, it's not good enough to sell, but you know that somebody could, you know, make really good use out of it, then you can put it onto the FreeCycle database, an online platform, and then anybody in your area can come and take that dining table away.
Yeah, it's such a brilliant idea, isn't it?
It's fantastic, because it's keeping stuff out of landfill that would normally perhaps end up there.
Yeah.
So I set this up and it was really successful. After a few years, I split it into several groups because it got massive, and I handed it over to somebody else. And so in 2008, I was thinking, okay, what should I do this year? You know, what's my new plan? What's my New Year's resolutions? And I came across a blog by a lady called Karen Cannard, who lots of people will have heard of. Mm-hmm. And she had taken her council Zero Waste Week challenge. And in a week, she'd only thrown away one plaster where she'd cut her finger.
Wow.
I know. And I read this blog and I was thinking about this woman, thinking, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
like you do.
Yeah.
So I said to my husband, I'm going to start recycling, because we weren't doing anything.
Uh-huh.
Everything we had was in the bin, including, you know, tins, glass bottles, newspapers. It all went into the bin. So I said to my husband, hey, husband, guess what? We're going to start recycling. And his response wasn't really that favourable. He said to me, number one, which was a good point, actually, what difference can we make?
Right.
And number two, I'm too old for this. I've been doing this for 50 years. I'm not about to change my habits now. So typically determined, that made me even more, you know, determined to succeed myself. But in all honesty, after day three, like all New Year's resolutions, I'd just had enough.
Okay.
Because taking out a beer can from the bin when it's got tea bags and vegetable peelings and other stuff, it just wasn't much fun anymore. So that was that. Put that to one side. And then later in the year, I read an article about the effects of plastic on marine life. Mm-hmm. And you've probably seen the image. It's an iconic image of a turtle with a carrier bag in its mouth.
Yeah.
And I kind of just looked at that, and I sent the article to my husband via email, even though he was upstairs at the time, like you do. And he read the article and it moved him so much. It was his turning point. Mm. And he looked at me and said, we are never using another carrier bag ever again.
Mm.
And his thought at the time, like I had this weird thought that, oh, my goodness, you know, here's climate change. It's happening right now. His thought was, that could have been my carrier bag.
Yes. Yeah.
Which sounds utterly ridiculous, but when you think about it, it was somebody's.
Yes.
So why not mine? Why not yours? You know. So we started this zero waste lifestyle, which really began with just not using carrier bags anymore.
Uh-huh.
And because I like to write, I set up a blog just to really chart our progress and to keep ourselves accountable. But by the end of the year, we were getting 80,000 visitors every month.
Wow.
All tuning in to see what was in the back of my fridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where the whole thing started for us. And so with the idea that, you know, there are people around the world watching what we're doing, it actually kept us going.
Yes.
It was a brilliant motivator for us and made us keep looking at, okay, what can we do now? What could we do next? And that's where our zero waste journey began, really.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think sometimes the term zero waste can be quite intimidating and a little bit off-putting for people. And the assumption is that if you join in with Zero Waste Week or you want to be zero waste, that you have to go straight from where you are now to not throwing away anything. And I always try and think of zero waste as a journey, because actually to get to the end goal of zero waste, living in the modern developed world, is actually really, really quite difficult. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things that we can all still do, and that's not a reason not to start on that journey.
I think you're right. And one thing that's really important to remember is it took us 18 months. So we began by not using carrier bags, mm-hmm. and then we added the next small thing and the next small thing, so that eventually we got to where we wanted to. And we are not totally zero waste. I think, as you said, in this modern developed, so-called developed 21st century world, living without creating any waste at all, I would go so far to say is impossible. Mm-hmm. Unless you can be completely self-sufficient, mm-hmm. which I guess that there are a few people who are like that. Mm. For a family living in a sort of, if you like, a mainstream world, especially with children, it's very hard. Interestingly, it's easier with children when they're very young.
Yes.
I've now got a teenage daughter, and I'm not about to dictate to her what she can and can't do. You know, this is her journey through life, and she has to find the path for her.
Yeah.
So I think the way I look at it is you find your own definition of what zero waste means to you as a family. So for us, we're looking at putting as little as possible into landfill.
Uh-huh.
So that would mean that we look up the waste hierarchy. So as well as if you think about the phrase reduce, reuse, recycle, it's in that order for a very specific reason. And that is that I think everybody starts with recycling, which is exactly what we did. And that's great.
Yeah.
But when you're then recycling everything you can, you start to think, OK, what could I reuse to give it a little bit extra life? What could I reduce in my life? And then we even come up to, you know, looking at shopping habits. What is it that I'm going to say no to or find an alternative to that I'm comfortable with?
Yeah.
I think the key here is that this isn't a lifestyle that's about deprivation. It's not about going without. It's about finding better choices.
Yeah, definitely.
So that we can continue to enjoy this, you know, all the comforts of the 21st century, but we do it maybe more mindfully or more sustainably.
Yeah, and it's all about those, exactly what you said, just about being more conscious, isn't it? I remember the first time I came across zero waste, and it was while we were doing our year buying nothing new. And I think the council were doing, or our local wildlife trust actually were doing something, a New Year's thing called Slim Your Bin. And it was sort of Waste Watchers, but W-A-S-T-E. And I joined in. It was an 8-week thing. And I think it must have been aligned with Karen's rubbish diet. And I sort of thought, well, this is going to be easy. We already do our recycling. But I just hadn't made that connection at all between what we were buying and what we were throwing away. And the fact that actually, if we really want to reduce our waste, we need to start from the other end and look at what we're bringing into the house and whether that can be reused or recycled, and try and stop buying the things that can't be.
I think that's the key there. So if people ask for advice, I say to them, before you get to the checkout, ask yourself, what am I going to do with this product or this packaging once I've finished using it? Yeah. And it might be that you need to look for an alternative. It might be that you need to actually go and shop somewhere else where you can get what you want.
Yeah.
It might be that you decide to raise awareness by buying that product anyway, but then sending the packaging back to the manufacturer saying, you know, questioning them, saying, what can I do with this? And if you're creating something that I can't recycle, really, perhaps you need to rethink.
Yeah.
And this does take me back to my husband's comment, you know, what difference can I make?
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we look at the always look at the collective impact. So if everybody in Britain recycled one more tin can, that would be 60 million tin cans out of landfill.
Yeah.
And then we can start to see that actually those little steps, mm-hmm. they're not meaningless.
Yeah.
I know it can feel overwhelming when you look at the big picture.
Yeah.
But this is the whole idea of the Zero Waste Week campaign, is that everybody doing their bit adds up to huge, significant impact.
Definitely. And I think, I always think that I can't impact on bigger, you know, global organisations and corporations, but these are the things I can do. It's very important to me that I do them. And if I can be seen to be doing them because I'm blogging about it or I'm talking about it, then so much the better. But actually, even if nobody else was watching, it's really important to me that I do it and that I take a personal responsibility for the impact of my choices and the impact of my actions.
Yes, I think so. But the other thing is, and I don't know how we could ever pull this off, but just imagine if at a particular time on a particular date, everybody went into this particular supermarket and made an issue about, I don't know what, a particular type of packaging, left it on the checkout, you know, did whatever. I think we could actually turn things around almost overnight.
Mm.
But it takes, again, it takes everybody to rise up together and
yes.
say, you know what, we've had enough of this.
That groundswell, isn't it? And that, I think somebody before I talked to her talked about the analogy, you know, pebbles on a beach, and it's, you know, you might be one little pebble, but actually you can be a 3 mile long beach altogether.
Yes, it's that's Pebble Magazine, isn't it? About creating ripples.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Which is exactly the ethos, if you like, behind Zero Waste Week. It's for everybody. I know the title can seem intimidating, mm-hmm. but it's just a goal. And I think it's good to set your sights high.
Yeah.
But it might be, you know, if we've got any goal in life, it's just good to aim high and then to just see how close you can get.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So how did you make that transition between wanting to personally live a more zero waste lifestyle or start on your own journey towards zero waste and the idea for Zero Waste Week and launching it?
That started in, again, it was almost by accident. So I'd been blogging for 3 months mm-hmm. and then I was challenged to do, by Karen again, she's got a lot to answer for, that woman. I was challenged to do a Zero Waste Week. So she said, you know, you and your family, I don't want you to put anything in your bin for a
wow.
week to see how you get on. And I was really up for it. But I wrote a blog post about it and said to my readers, who'd like to join me? You know,
yeah.
I could do with some moral support here. And 100 people, roughly,
wow.
said yes. So all we did that year was we just carried on a big comments thread on the blog. But by the end of the week, it was really interesting. People wrote and said, firstly, that they'd had a lot of fun, which is a word I wasn't expecting to be associated with reducing waste.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we've loved it so much, we want to do it again.
Yeah.
So it was a combination of those two things that made me think, you know what, this actually needs to become an annual awareness
yes.
campaign. And so 100 people 2008, and then last year I think the hashtag reached something like 20 million people on Twitter.
Oh my
so
goodness.
It's just grown
yeah.
exponentially sort of year on year.
Wow, my goodness me. And people can come and actually physically sign up and kind of commit almost to the fact that they're going to join in and make a Zero Waste Week pledge, can't they? How many people did you get sign up last year?
Well, it's an interesting thing because I've watched it change over the years. Mm-hmm. So I think when I started my blog, I'm pretty certain, I'm sure somebody will correct me here, but I don't think Twitter and Facebook really existed.
Okay, yes.
They possibly did, I don't know. But now Twitter is where all
yeah.
the activity starts. So interestingly, my mailing list is fairly small. It's
okay.
about 2,500-3,000 people.
Mm.
But where all the activity happens is the sort of distribution of all the
yeah.
social network channels.
Yes.
So what's interesting as well is people say and I still struggle to understand this, but they say it's a really cutting edge campaign. I'm like, what are you going on about? There's been campaigns about things, but the fact that there is no event at the NEC where people come to, it's purely a virtual event, but it has this massive uptake. It's an you know, I think it's the way forward. I really do, because when you go to these events, you've got the non-sustainable factors of people traveling there, of running the building, the heating, the lighting, the inevitable goodie bags full of rubbish that nobody wants. You know, all of that stuff. But I'm getting the same reach on social media.
Yes, and there will probably be some people who jump on the hashtag on social media who might actually know nothing about you and never come to the website, but actually it's about everybody coming together. And that's one of the beautiful things about social media and about Twitter, is that it provides that opportunity for people to connect, isn't it?
That's right. So I make wonderful connections with complete strangers, as you say, people that don't know me. And also I've had tweets from really massive organisations like Greenpeace, Penguin Books, Jamie Oliver, Food Revolution, you know, some really big names that, again, if I'd put on an event somewhere, they probably wouldn't have heard about it. But it gets, you know, just stuff goes viral on social media.
Yes.
And before you know it, you've reached people. I mean, this is the other thing. 2008, it was just a few people in England.
Yeah.
Last year, I think I got 16 different countries.
Wow.
Of people signed up, because as you say, you can go to the website, sign up to get on the mailing list, or you can come along to the Facebook group and Twitter. So there's lots of ways for people to interact.
And the Facebook group actually is something, did that start a couple of years ago, and is almost a continuation of Zero Waste Week throughout the year, isn't it? It's a brilliant place for people to come and connect all year round about all things zero waste.
It's a wonderful community. I absolutely love the people on there because they are so engaged with the important topic. So you're right. You know, it's about having a dog. Zero Waste Week isn't just for 1 week of the year. It is for 52 weeks of the year. And that's exactly where people can come along and keep up with the conversation and just get advice on and share their stories as well. Share their successes.
Yes.
Such a great place to be. I love it over there.
And it's Zero Waste Heroes, isn't it?
Oh, Jen.
I'm sure it is. I'll link to it in the show notes so
thank
people can come and find it.
Yeah, now you've asked me.
And what's the dates for this year's Zero Waste Week?
It's the 4th to the 8th. So it's Monday to Friday.
Brilliant.
In September.
And how do people get involved? We've sort of touched on a few things, but...
Yeah, so... It depends on whether you want to get emails from me every day, because if you do, you need to sign up to the newsletter.
Yeah.
And that's on my website, which is zerowasteweek.com.
Brilliant. I'll link to that as well.
Thank you. There are a couple of little green buttons that you can sign up. That gets you onto the mailing list. Mm-hmm. And so people there will have, they'll probably get a couple more mail shots now between now and the actual week.
Yeah.
During Zero Waste Week itself, there will be a daily email because I'm going to focus on certain topics on certain days.
Yeah.
And then probably one afterwards. So I don't inundate people, but it's quite intense for that week.
Yeah.
If you don't want that, then the best place to join in is with either Facebook or Twitter.
Sure.
My handle at Twitter is @myzerowaste. Mm-hmm. And then what's really lovely for me is that even though I don't run anything on the ground, is that people tend to run events every year.
Yeah.
And I hear about them, and there might be something going on in a little community somewhere.
Mm.
So that's what I really love. And what I find particularly exciting is that I see it almost as scattering seeds.
Yes.
And I don't know which ones are going to, you know, bloom and which ones are going to fall on barren land. And it might be that somebody listens to this podcast, goes and tells their friend, and you and I never hear about that conversation, but it starts them on their own journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that analogy of spreading seeds. That's fabulous. And you mentioned that each day this year has a separate theme. And in previous years, you've kind of themed the whole week, haven't you? What are the different themes running throughout this year's Zero Waste Week?
All right. Well, on Monday, it's dedicated to you, Jen, about make, do and mend.
Brilliant.
I can't even sew a button on the skirt. But
you can. Anyone can sew a button.
Oh,
you can,
I know.
You can,
but
you can.
Honestly, I'm in awe of people like you. So Mondays make do and mend. Tuesday is going to be trashless Tuesday. So I'm going to invite everybody. Am I going to invite? No, I'm going to make them. I'm going to demand that they have a totally zero waste day. So that is nothing for the bin.
Wow. And that actually, it sounds easy when you say it like that. But I tried. I think 1 year for Zero Waste Week, I pledged zero waste and literally was making, I don't know, lunch or something. And then you're suddenly like, oh, I've just opened a stock cube and now I've got a wrapper. Do you know, it's just suddenly like, just once you, it's like when you buy a red car and you start seeing all the red cars. Once you start thinking about it and really noticing what you put in the bin, you realise quite how disposable a society we kind of live in.
That's right. And the thing that I want to do to kind of up the ante on that challenge is I'm going to say to people, you get yourself a small clear plastic bag and you carry around any waste you're going to put in the bin. Yeah. I want you to carry it around for the day so that you can see it.
Yes.
Because I think the danger of our society is out of sight, out of mind. Yes. And I'm exactly the same, Jen. If I've got something that I think I need to get rid of, that I want it in a black bag where I can't see it. I want to put it out on the curbside and it for to be somebody else's responsibility. I still feel like that now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of moving away from that mindset.
Sorry, just one more thing before you carry on with the themes. I don't know if they still do it, but I'm sure I read somewhere about a local council that started providing clear bin bags for people to put out. And apparently the amount of rubbish being sent to landfill dramatically decreased and the amount of stuff that was being recycled appropriately massively increased because of that kind of shame factor. You don't want the neighbours to be looking and going, oh, she put her tins in her landfill waste. And I just thought that was really, really interesting.
I've heard that. And I think it's such a simple move, actually, that could be done very successfully.
Yeah, clear wheelie bins.
Clear wheelie bins. How about it? We need to start a new business, don't we?
You heard it here first.
Okay, so when people have had the shame of carrying their rubbish around with a clear plastic bag on Tuesday, on Wednesday we're moving on to upcycling.
Yeah.
And that's a topic that really fascinates me because I'm not at all artistic or creative in that way. But I've realised that I upcycle quite a few things and they're really simple things like using the backs of letters for writing my shopping list on. So it doesn't have to be that you have to, I mean, we've got a wonderful blogger, you know her, Vicky, who I think her latest blog post was how to upcycle an old bath into a garden chair.
Wow.
I mean, it's a work of art. Yeah. It really is. But that sort of thing leaves me thinking, I can't do anything upcycling. Yes. But actually, I can, because I can use an old jam jar for something else. I can repurpose a, you know, coffee pot into something else. So Wednesday is all about upcycling, whether it's a letter like I'm going to do or whether it's a, you know, something amazing. I think it just, I think it just gets people's creativity flowing and definitely. Makes you think outside the box.
Definitely makes you look at rubbish things that you might put in the bin in a different way.
Yes, because I sort of have this little mantra. So if you're a gardener, you'll know the one that goes along the lines of a weed is just a flower in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So to me, I feel that rubbish is a resource that we don't yet know what to do with.
Yeah.
And I can almost see a time, I know it sounds a bit crazy, but I can see a time where we realise what we've done and we start mining landfills. I can see us going back and thinking we need to get that plastic back out again.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, that day is all about, really, realizing the wonderful resources we have and perhaps just trying to do something with them.
Yeah, definitely.
Thursday is about time saving and tips, because a lot of people say to me, I haven't got time. Mm-hmm. And I get that, you know, I'm running a business, I've got a family, you know, we've got people on board who are full-time carers or, you know, working all the hours that they can. So it's going to be about all those little hacks that you can do just to make things easier, quicker, more successful. Friday is my favorite topic. I've had whole weeks dedicated to this. It's about food waste.
Yeah.
I love it because it reaches everybody. Yes. I don't care whether you're the CEO of a multi-million corporation or whether you're a student. We all have to deal with our food waste. Yeah. And I love helping people reduce it because to me, it's a kind of quick hit. It's a quick win.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the average family is wasting £60 a month of food.
Yeah.
Well, frankly, I'd rather save that up and go on holiday with it, wouldn't you? So it's a no-brainer, really.
Absolutely. So there's plenty to keep us going. And emails, if anybody wants to sign up, they are just, you know, jam-packed full of tips and resources and are genuinely kind of valuable emails to be getting into your inbox if people are worried about sort of signing up, aren't they?
Well, thank you. Yes, I like to think so. Of course, Monday has got some great content in because it's written by you.
And so what's been your biggest accomplishment with Zero Waste Week so far? What are you most proud of?
I think it was probably, I think it's 2015 when Zero Waste Week was put forward. It's called, I'd never heard of it, I have to admit, it's called an early day motion in Parliament. Yeah. So I had this email to say Zero Waste Week's been put forward for an early day motion. I thought, well, that sounds cool, but what on earth is that?
Sounds like an early morning poo, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does, really. So anyway, I did a bit of Googling because where would we be without Google?
Yeah.
And I discovered that a member of Parliament had put it forward for other members of Parliament to look at, and if it gets enough signatures, it actually has to go to Parliament to be discussed. Mm-hmm. Now, the chances of it happening are, I think, 0.001%, but right. The fact that it even got there and was put forward is, I think that's probably my high five to myself moment.
Definitely. And what would you say is your biggest challenge when it comes to Zero Waste Week?
What is it, for taking part personally or for writing the content?
For you, putting it all together.
I really need another couple of clones of me. So, I mean, each campaign takes over 400 hours to organise. So I'm writing the content, doing all the social media stuff, you know, talking to press if they want to talk to me. Hello, press, please talk to me. juggling about 20 balls in the air.
Yes.
So it's time, it's organisation, it's, you know, hoping that nothing major goes wrong in my little sphere of the world that needs my attention, you know.
Yes.
All of that, really, bringing it all together.
And you still very much is a kind of one-man band operation, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I've got the ambassador bloggers, of which you are one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ambassador bloggers are really invaluable into getting the message out to people that I wouldn't be able to reach, because each one takes the zero waste message to their audience with their own, you know, engagement level and following and that. So it's absolutely wonderful to have that.
Yeah.
I've got three amazing admin people on my Facebook group, because if anybody runs a group, they will know that you get a lot of spammers and trollers, and sometimes little arguments break out between participants that you have to just soothe ruffled feathers. And it takes time, it takes a lot of time to, you know, authorize new members and do all that. I've got Lynn, who takes care of the Pinterest boards, and she's put together a cracking resource. There are thousands of pins on there. Yeah, it's really, she's doing a sterling job on there. But essentially, it's interesting. People have written to me thinking I'm an organisation or thinking I'm a government-funded being. And I'm sitting at my dining table.
Just one person. With
my daughter wanting me and my husband needing me and the cat wanting feeding. And
I think campaigns like this, or maybe Zero Waste Week, is unique in that it has got so big with just you from your dining room table, but it is a real labour of love, and people do assume that it's funded by the government or it's, there's, you've got some big business sponsors somewhere, but that really isn't the case. And you might not want to answer this, but, you know, in terms of funding it, how do you do that?
With difficulty. So, to be honest, I fund it. This year I have got a few sponsors, which I'm really grateful for. But I didn't start early enough. I should have started much earlier. Getting funding has been very difficult, because I think firstly, I don't have the knowledge and the understanding to apply for funding. The thought of filling out a 40-page form just fills me with dread. And also, because I am not registered as a, I don't know, social enterprise, charity, that sort of thing, it's very difficult. And because I'm not running an event where people come and they can see something, this whole idea that it's a virtual thing, entity, is still very difficult for people to grasp, I think. Yeah. And the, you know, the funding isn't really in place to support things like that. Sure. So, it's my you know, contribution to the world, if you like. And I ask for donations if people want to put their latte fund into my zero waste fund. That would be very nice.
And you've set up, because you did it last year as well, I think, didn't you? You set up a donations page. And, you know, if everybody who tweeted or retweeted the hashtag gave a pound.
Oh, Jen, I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah.
I would.
Like, how amazing would that be? And it's, and I think that's just one of the things I really want to push home to people is that, you know, there are people like you that are giving their time and their energy and their love and their, you know, their money to campaigns like this. And it doesn't all just happen. And it isn't being sponsored by someone and it isn't being paid for by someone. So, as you say, your latte fund for the week or your, I don't know, you know, give up your bag of sweets or whatever it is, or your ice cream for that week. But I just think to give you some payback as well, you know, because I imagine that doing something like this, as much as you're passionate about it, as much as you love it, you do reach a point where you need to know that this is something that people value, and the way our society shows value, unfortunately or otherwise, is monetary, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think the other thing is it's actually not just time. You'll know yourself from running a blog, setting up a website costs money, the hosting costs money, the newsletter thing costs me money every month. So it's not just time. I actually have to pay out, just like you do, just like all the other bloggers do. We have to actually fund our own projects.
And
as you say, it's just another example of where the collective impact, as you pointed out, just £1 from everybody, that would be marvelous. Thank you very much. Make a big difference. I can't go to my mortgage people and say, oh, by the way,
I had 20 million people on Twitter.
They just want their money. So we are.
I'll post a link to the donations page there. So if anybody does want to come along and support Rochelle and Zero Waste Week, then they can find it there. And for people who are thinking about taking part in Zero Waste Week, or maybe have never even heard the term zero waste before, have you got some top tips you can share for people wanting to get started to dip their toe in the water?
Yes, I have. So there's a challenge that I issued to the participants today, which is, it goes back to something you said, Jen, where we don't always make the connection between what we buy and what we put in the bin. Mm-hmm. So one of the things to do is to know where you're starting. Mm-hmm. So in other words, to actually take a bin audit. Ooh. So instead of just throwing everything away for a week, actually have a look and see what's in there, because it's, I know it sounds odd, but it can be quite surprising what's in there.
Yeah.
And then, and you might suddenly think, oh gosh, do you know what? I didn't even really enjoy that. Mm. Or I found for us, you know, there were particular foods that just got thrown away every week because none of us bothered to get around to eating it. Yeah. So you could just cut that out of your shopping list.
Yeah.
So that's one, is to know exactly what you're dealing with by having a look at what you're throwing away and then seeing, are there any alternatives?
Yeah.
Or, you know, could I actually go without this because I don't really want it anyway? Mm-hmm. That's one. Another thing that we did that made a huge difference to us was we took away the kitchen bin, where it's just so easy to put everything, and we put a recycling bin there instead. So in other words, that made it easier for us to recycle than it did to throw something away. Right. We had to kind of go out. Yeah, we had to go out of the room to the bin to throw something away. And the other thing I say to people, because I just said the phrase there, throw something away, is when you do that, ask yourself, where is away?
Mm.
Because it isn't this magical place where the fairies put their sprinkly dust on. It's an incinerator or the landfill site. It's a turtle's mouth. It's a piece of litter that you see on your way home. It's always somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think by keeping that idea in mind, then it helps us to, exactly what you said earlier, start to take responsibility for the waste that we generate.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, it can potentially be sort of out of sight, out of mind.
Mm.
I think the things that I found most useful, when the things that had the biggest impact when we first did our sort of started slimming our bin, if you like, was that you might correct me here, but I was told that any kind of stretchy plastic can go in the carrier bag recycling outside the supermarket. So we have a big bag where we stuff all our you know, any kind of, if we do make the sin of buying a, you know, a bag of apples in a carrier bag, then that goes in there, and then my husband has the job of posting it all into the little box that stands outside the supermarket for 10 minutes. And that actually massively reduced our waste. And the other thing was that we don't have a food waste collection in Wiltshire. So the council actually fund these, they're called sort of hot composters. So I'll put a link to them. One's called a Green Joanna, and I can't remember what the other one's called, Green Cone. And we got one of these Green Joannas, and so we can put our food waste in there. We can put cooked food in there as well as our garden waste. And, you know, as anal as I am about food waste, there's still the eggshells and the onion skins and the half-eaten Weetabix that the kids have left. So that massively cut down our landfill waste.
That's really good. I've heard you talk about that Green Joanna. The other thing is, because you've reminded me about it by saying your suggestions, is that it's really interesting that sometimes you think you know what you can recycle at your curbside and locally, but then the service changes or something new is bought online. Yeah. So it's always worth, say, every 6 months, just checking either with your council or there's a fantastic website called recyclenow.com, and you type your postcode in and then it just shows you everything that you can recycle at curbside and everything you can recycle locally. And that's how, for us, we discovered just one day it seemed to just appear that we could recycle the juice cartons, the Tetra Pak cartons. Yeah. And there was a place to collect those behind a local pub, so 3 miles away.
Oh, brilliant.
And that made a big difference to the amount of waste that was going into our bin. So definitely check in every 6 months and just see if the facilities have changed nearby.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier this waste hierarchy, which is a term that I always think sounds phenomenally dull, but is actually just massive common sense. And it's that reduce, reuse, recycle thing. And some people have expanded that, haven't they, into the refuse, reuse, reduce, recycle, or repair, all those kinds of things. And I think that as individuals, those are things that's really important to remember to do first before recycling, isn't it? Because we can choose to not buy something in packaging, or to repair our, to sew the button onto our shirt, or to repair our, the patch in our jeans, or those kinds of things before we even think about whether they can be recycled.
Yes, it's important to keep that in mind. And the other thing is that so often as consumers, I think we feel that we have no choice. People say, oh, well, I haven't got a choice. Mm. But actually, we need to remember that we have got a choice.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we're extraordinarily powerful, because every purchase we make, we are voting with our money.
Definitely.
And that gives us back, again, that idea of self-responsibility, that what am I, you know, here's £5.
Yeah.
What am I going to say yes to?
Yes.
So
what businesses, what ethos do I want to be supporting with my hard-earned money?
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned that about zero waste, the term being intimidating. And I think sometimes if you Google zero waste, you'll come up with the almost the poster girls, if you like, of zero waste, Bea Johnson and Lauren Singer, and people looking very hip and cool and carrying around these mason jars full of rubbish. What I love about Zero Waste Week, and don't take this the wrong way, is that it's so much more real and normal and accessible.
Well, I think it's like I said to you at the beginning of the podcast, you said, how are you? I said, I'm feeling grey and old. So I am seeing myself almost as the grandma of the zero waste movement now.
But
it's okay, because you're right in that it makes it, the emails I get from people are ones that say, you make it very, you're very approachable. Mm-hmm. You're the girl next door. You know, I don't feel intimidated, because I'm not the sort of person that preaches and holds up my mason. I'm not slagging off the people that hold up their mason jars. It's fine. You know, it's great. But I'm in the trenches, and I'm more likely to hoik out the moldy salad bag from the back of the fridge and say, oh dear, look what I've done this week. So, yeah, I try to keep it very real. So what I find is that when I send out newsletters, I actually get email responses back from people, and often they'll pour out. It's almost like a life story, or even things that they say, I can't tell anybody else this because you'll understand.
Yes.
And it might be that they're really excited because they've taken their own container to the butcher's.
Yes.
But if they try to tell their friends that, their friends would just go, yeah, whatever,
yeah.
You know. So it's great that I have that. And also I talk to people who perhaps are physically challenged with what they can do. Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, they've got health issues or something like that. It might be that there's no disposable income.
Yeah.
It might be that they're living in a high-rise flat and they haven't got room to store things. And so by talking to people like that and trying to come up with creative solutions for them, it becomes a really inclusive, you don't have to be carrying your rubbish around in a mason jar. It's just about doing what you can. And if, again, you know, we're going around full circle here again, but if everybody reduced their waste by, say, 10%, what massive change would that be?
Yes. Yeah. And it all comes down again, doesn't it, to making a start, picking your battles, I guess, picking one thing that you can do and that you can get at the end of the week and go, brilliant, that actually was much easier than I thought it was going to be. What can I do next? What can I do next?
Yeah, that's very much how our journey started. We almost set ourselves a monthly challenge.
Yeah.
So month number one was the carrier bags one. Number two was, okay, you know what? We have to take this stuff to the end of the drive every week to throw away. So why don't we just separate the recyclables and put those out separately? Because that's not too difficult to do. Month number three was finding out what could be recycled at one of these local bring banks. So say we were taking our daughter to an after school club, or we were on an errand anyway, we would just put a box of stuff in the back of the car, and as we drove past, take that. And that's how we did it. And as I say, it took 18 like little mini challenges, and we pieced everything together, and there we were with a limited amount of waste each month.
So how much do you throw away each week or month?
Now, interestingly, we're not that good. I know there's lots of people who do much better than us.
Yeah.
So we have a fortnightly landfill collection, and we have to use it every fortnight. When we were doing our ultimate, let's see, what is the nth degree we can go to? That was 2009, and we accumulated one bin for the whole year.
Wow.
Which was ridiculous. Yeah. But it was all consuming. It really was. Was it realistic? No, it wasn't. But it was that idea of what can one family do?
Yeah.
And that's what one family could do.
Wow.
But my take now is that, you know, if these 20 million people that are tweeting about it are also reducing their waste, then actually we're all kind of helping each other.
Yes.
And I'm actually a little bit embarrassed about how much waste we create now, because it's probably a full wheelie bin every fortnight.
Okay.
Which is a bit shocking.
But that makes me feel better.
Yeah, but I think I need to go and do that waste audit again, because I'm thinking, what's in there?
Yeah.
Actually, what's in there? We do have an open fire, and we do sometimes burn coal.
Right.
And there's like nothing you can do with that.
Okay,
But no, it's that's probably been the most embarrassing question, actually, Jen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's good. Because now I'm thinking, no, actually, I need to get back on track.
Yes.
You know, so spend all my time.
Something that creeps up, isn't it? I found that we got down to, and we probably do, I don't want to embarrass, but we probably do about, I don't know, a quarter to a third of a wheelie bin every 2 weeks.
Wow.
And, but, you know, that does, if you don't keep an eye on it, it does creep up, doesn't it? The sort of, you fall out of habits that you've, the new habits that you've developed, you kind of fall out of, and that sort of thing. So yeah, it does need reassessing every so often.
Well, I think this is part of the Zero Waste Week idea. It's like a boot camp. So it's a boot camp for your bins, and then for the next 51 years, you kind of go 51 weeks, you go off and you do stuff, and then, you know, invariably by the end of August your bin's back to where mine is. And it's time to start again when Zero Waste Week comes up. So I'm actually, you've fired me up again. Actually, I'm fired up. I'm ready for Zero Waste Week now.
Oh, maybe I should. We should get back together at the end of it.
I'll keep myself accountable.
So what are your hopes and dreams for Zero Waste Week over the next couple of years?
Oh, do you know what? I haven't really thought about it, because I'm hitting the wall with preparing the content for this year. Yeah. So that's probably a question for like next January. So what I tend to do is the very first thing I do, Jen, this is my little insider secret. Very first thing I do when I'm preparing the campaign is I book 2 nights away immediately after Zero Waste Week for me and my husband.
Yes.
So that we can just, you know, regroup.
Yeah.
be together again, because I'm invariably head up my own wherever for this month. So, you know, I would obviously, it's growing. I don't think it can stop growing. Mm-hmm. It would be lovely to get a few more countries on the map. Mm-hmm. I've got people from countries that write content that's particular for that country, which is really helpful to get international participants. And of course I'd love to be able to fund it so that I can put more resources and build, you know, get a team of people together who can. I'd love to have ambassadors in every country.
Wow. Yeah,
who are doing, you know, maybe I could be writing the newsletter content, but then they rewrite it, if you like, that makes it applicable to their lifestyle, because I'm aware that I'm reaching out to these people in all these countries, but actually I only know what it's like in England. I don't even know what it's like in Wales and Scotland. Not really.
And even from county to county, the things that can be recycled are so different, aren't they, and the way that waste collections work and things.
But the idea that, you know, I'm probably talking to people who live in such hot places that food goes off in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Or that, I don't know, don't have curbside collections. You know, there are people that just don't have collections. I can't imagine, I can't begin to imagine the difficulties that these people face. And I would love to be able to have a team of ambassadors in every country.
Yes.
That would be great. Go on, I'm thinking big now.
So if there's any businesses listening or any funding providers or anything like that, then I'll make sure that I can direct the show notes will direct them back to you so they can get in touch about sponsoring next year's Zero Waste Week, so we can keep you going.
Yeah, we need to keep it on the agenda, because it's you know, you'll have found yourself, it's putting toes into mainstream. You know, recycling used to be a bit of a fringe activity for the hippies.
Yeah.
But now it's very, everybody just does it. We just do it. So that gives me a lot of hope. The idea now that we've got rid of the free carrier bags.
Yes.
That's all over the UK now. Yeah. So the times they are changing and all that. But it's important, really important, that we now keep it on the agenda and let the awareness grow.
Yeah, definitely. Brilliant. So just lastly, can you just remind us where we come to find out more and how to get involved? And it's the 4th to the 8th of September, isn't it? Which I'm planning for this to go out on the 1st, I think, which is a Friday. So it'll be the following Monday, won't it?
Perfect. Yeah. So if people want to get the newsletters, that's signing up at zerowasteweek.com.
Brilliant.
And then lots of activity on social media. So it's facebook.com. I think it's Cut Groups, Cut Zero Waste Week Heroes.
Oh, brilliant.
Does that sound right to you?
I think, but I'll check it, and I'll definitely link to the correct one in the show notes,
And then finally Twitter, which is at My Zero Waste, and there'll be lots of activity with the hashtag, which is Zero Waste Week.
Brilliant. So it's just Zero Waste Week. There's no 2017 or anything like that. Just Zero Waste.
No, just on its own. It takes up too many of those valuable characters.
Yes, exactly.
Otherwise.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, fabulous. It's been absolutely fascinating, Rochelle. And am I right in saying we've sort of known each other, in inverted commas, for quite a few years, but this is the first time we've spoken properly?
I know. It's really weird, isn't it? It's great. It's been really lovely to connect with you in this way. I just find the internet a fascinating tool.
Yes, it's brilliant, isn't it? Yes. And technology, when it works, is a wonderful way to connect with people as well. But real life, it does. It's not the same as meeting up in real life, is it? But it's, I'm always amazed at how similar people are when you speak to them, you know, on the phone or on Skype, as to how they appear on social media. And I love that.
It's an interesting thing, but I think the idea of social media is, I know it's got its negative sides, but the people I've met that I would never have met, I would never have been able to talk to, you know, without this tool we call the internet. It's
the
real double-edged sword
that one person can have, and you're, you know, proof of that, that one person starting a blog, doing one thing, starting a campaign, and now you've managed to reach 20 million people. That's staggering, isn't it?
It is, and it's something that couldn't be done, as I say, in the real world. It sounds old, doesn't it, in the real world. But yeah, we have these opportunities open up to us now, so it's wonderful.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, it's been fabulous to connect with you. Thank you so much for your time, and all the very best with Zero Waste Week. And maybe I'll tweet you at the end and find out how you're getting on with your bin.
I'll show you. I'll take a gruesome picture and show you how much is in there. Thanks,
and
Jen.
After, yeah. Fab. Thanks so much, Rochelle.
Thanks, Jen.
You've been listening to the Making Good podcast with me, Jen Gale. If you've enjoyed the show, I'd really love you to pop over to iTunes to leave a review and say nice things. I'd also love to hear your feedback and your thoughts, so do drop me a line on jen@jengale.co.uk or head over to my Making Good community on Facebook. Thanks for listening.